Bom dia, boa tarde. Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 210. Welcome back, everybody, as we now make our way through the middle of February. We had Europa action this week, some good results for some teams, bad for the others. Match day 22, things continue to get very interesting. What is going on with Futebol Clube do Porto? I've got my player abroad report, Big Four report, and of course I'll do my review as well of the second division, covering you in all facets of Portuguese football, and then I'll end it with the mailbag, and of course my update on my favorite club in Portugal in the fifth tier, my district's club, and that is, of course, Athletico dos Arcos. And we got some pretty good news from this past week. But let me start off like I do every episode, and that is what was going on in Portuguese football, Portuguese soccer, approximately a year ago at this time. And last year at this time, women's football was celebrating qualifying for the World Cup for the first time ever. For the women's national team. That was going on about a year ago at this time. We saw Sporting go to Denmark, record a big 4-0 win against Midtjylland. That was something that Sporting needed because they were struggling so much in the Liga. We saw Porto suffer a 1-0 loss to Inter in the first leg of their Champions League encounter. Otávio was sent off, and that really hurt Porto. But Porto was going back to Portugal for the second leg, only down 1-0, so there was still plenty of hope. We saw Braga, unfortunately, lose their head-to-head encounter for Europa. They lost to Fiorentina the first leg. Actually, it was the second leg, 3-2, and they were eliminated from the competition. Arthur Cabral, who now plays for Benfica, was one of the players for Fiorentina who scored against Benfica, and I think that might have drawn, may have, probably not, but I guess that might have drawn Benfica's attention. And last year at this time, we saw Benfica in first with 59 points, Porto in second with 51, Braga in third with 49, and Sporting sitting in fourth with 44 points. Match day 22, which is coming up this weekend, last year we saw Sporting beat Estoril Praia 2-0. We saw Guimarães, Vitória, beat Braga 2-1. We saw Benfica go to Vizela, record a 2-0 win. But the big surprise was Porto losing to Gil Vicente. Gil Vicente coming in from Barcelos and beating Porto 2-1. And that was a pretty big result last year of match day 22. But welcome back, everybody. Episode 210. Let's talk about what happened last week and what's going to be happening this upcoming week. And we'll start off first with the Europa Conference League. Very disappointing result for Braga, losing 4-2 at home to Karabag. And while not, of course, mathematically over, it's going to be a very tough hill to climb in that second leg. Braga, of course, lost last weekend, went to Alvalade, and for the third straight time in Alvalade, lost a match 5-0, this time for the Liga. And then they come home and really drop a very bad performance, 4-2. I still think, in my opinion, this is one of the better Braga teams we've had in many years. I don't know if they're as good as the team that made it to the Europa final, but this has to be very, very disappointing as they may be seeing a very quick exit unless they can pull off a miracle in the second leg. We saw Sporting go to Switzerland against first place in Switzerland, Young Boys, and Sporting with a convincing 3-1 win. Gonçalo Inácio, Goycalves. It was just a great, great win for Sporting, who now will come home and try to wrap it up in advance to the round of 16. And we saw Benfica, two penalty kicks, one of them coming in stoppage time by Di Maria, defeat their opponent from France, Toulouse. And as a result, Benfica does go to France with only a one-goal margin, but one goal is better than being level, which at one point it looked like that was how the match was going to end. But a very good result for Benfica. So we saw basically two Portuguese clubs win. In the case of Benfica and Sporting, we saw Braga disappoint. And next week, next Thursday, they will all be playing the second legs of their match. And, of course, we'll see what happens. Porto will get going with their Champions League, going up against Arsenal, and that'll be played on Wednesday in the Estádio do Dragão. Let me give you a quick preview. We know Arsenal's having, pretty in the midst of having another very good season. I know many people, and I'm one of them, that are Arsenal fans that are glad to see Arsenal competing against the Champions League after these last few years with the disappointment. This is where a lot of hardcore fans believe Arsenal should be every single year, and they're in, and they're going to be playing Porto. And Porto haven't had some success in the past with the English team, especially Liverpool, but they are playing an Arsenal team. And look, Porto's form right now, we know what happened to them last week, losing 3-2. They're 7 points behind Benfica and Sporting, and that could get worse if, because Sporting still has one more match to play. But if you're Porto, a lot of fan discontent, a lot of disappointment with what's going on. We know all about the elections that'll be coming up with Pinto da Costa and Andres Villas-Boas. This is a different competition. It's a chance to change the conversation, the mood around this club with a very good first leg result against Arsenal. It will not be easy. I think Arsenal's most recent opponent, they won, I think it was 6-0. They're playing very well. But as a whole, this is a team with significantly more resources coming in to the Dragon, and Porto really needs to really step it up. But in my opinion, I'm going to predict a draw. I don't think a draw would be that bad of a result. But we need Evan Nilsson to continue to bring his Portugal form to Europe, and he needs to score like the way he did against that Belgium team in group play. He needs to come out. We need Tereme to take care of business. A lot of talk about Tereme and Inter. We really need to be at our best for Portugal, because Portuguese clubs, we looks like right now we are in danger of losing one of our clubs, Braga, that will not be advancing into the round of 16. And if you're a Portuguese fan with the coefficient, we really need a very positive result by Futebol Clube do Porto. This is an opportunity for Diego Costa. Really needs to step it up. Haven't heard a lot from him this season, mostly because he's been doing his job and everybody in front of him really hasn't. But they're going to really need his extra efforts, his extra acrobatics to really keep that ball out of the net when they play Arsenal. And again, that'll be taking place on Wednesday, and looking forward to catching that in my local pub and watching at least a half of it during my lunch hour. So I'm looking forward to that. So listen, we had good results with Benfica and Sporting. I think Sporting's well positioned to advance. Braga continues to disappoint. They win the League Cup, and since then they've not had the greatest results. I think they drew with Chaves. They did win a Liga match, but last week gave up 5 goals, losing again 5-0 to Sporting, gave up 4 goals to Carabag. That's 9 goals in the last 2 matches, and that is not a very, very good situation. Mateus, the goalkeeper, has probably been a little bit below form. A lot of talk about him at one time, maybe hopefully in a play for Portugal, but I'm not sure if these results are necessarily going to help him. But let's move on, and obviously let's talk a little bit about match day 22. And obviously, again, we had, in my opinion, one of the more exciting weeks of the Liga, simply because we had a lot of good matches. We obviously, the highly anticipated match was, of course, Vitória. One of the was Sporting playing Braga. Braga could have proved themselves, didn't, losing 5-0 ugly. We saw Benfica go up north to Minho to take on Vitória Guimarães. Vitória wants to finish in fourth place, wants to grow their club. They record a 2-2 result at home against Benfica. Vitória lost, had a player sent off that kind of hurt them down the stretch of the last 25 minutes, but they managed to take away the point, although the players and the manager felt better. And then, of course, we saw the big result on Monday that was very surprising. First off, Arouca scores something like 36 seconds into the match. Almost every single player touched the ball, and then they score. It was exquisite, to be honest with you. But that set the tone early, and Arouca, which is starting to creep up under the great work of Daniel Souza, the manager. He, of course, you remember him last year. He's a former Andres Villas-Boas assistant. Last year, he took over Gil Vicente when they were having problems. They went something like 3 months without losing a home game with him. He did a great job, kept them up last year, Now he gets this opportunity with Arroca, and Arroca has been playing. They've been doing better. They've been doing much, much better, all the way up to seventh place, when as at one point this season, they were down near the bottom in the relegation zone, and they have done a fantastic job. And this is going to be a manager to watch, Daniel Souza, who's doing a great job with Arroca. But Porto falls 7 points behind. Their players, including Pep, was asked, and everybody realizes how tough it's going to be. Because remember, only the top two go to the Champions League. The first place team, of course, automatically. Second place team has to go through qualifying. But Porto right now is 7 points behind that, sitting in third place. And Porto, we know about their money problems. It's something that Andres Villas-Boas is really going to be hammering against Pinto da Costa in this upcoming election campaign. Porto really needs to be back in the Champions League. Portuguese clubs cannot go 2 years or 3 years or 4 years of not making the Champions League. Even 1 year is a problem, and Porto is in very serious problem, and I'll talk about them a little bit later in this episode. But as far as this weekend goes, of course, match day 22, everything gets going on Friday with Familia Kong taking on Rio Ave. Familia Kong Rio Ave. Then we've got three matches on Saturday. Chaves taking on Boa Vista. Portimonense taking on Vitória Guimarães, against playing very well, Vitória. And then Porto will be at home playing Estrela Amadora. Newly signed defender Familia Kong Otávio could be tipped to be in the starting lineup. Maybe a few changes after last week's disappointment. Not to mention the fact that they, of course, are going to be playing the Champions League on Wednesday. So you wonder if maybe there'll be one or two changes before that, thinking of that match. They'll say no, but there's going to be some thought given to it because of the money involved in the Champions League. Then we have four matches on Saturday. Benfica at home to Vizela. Braga at home to Feirense. That's a very good match. It's one of my favorite matches of this match day. Eighth place, Feirense taking on fourth place Braga. And everything finishes up on Monday, and Sporting will be making the trip up north to play Moreirense, having a good season at sixth place. Of course, Sporting playing on Monday because, of course, they also played the Europa match away. So they're playing on Monday. And, of course, Sporting, Braga, and Benfica will be playing their Europa League second legs on Thursday of next week. In my opinion, the best match. Having said everything I've said, I think it's going to be Moreirense Sporting. Moreirense has been strong this year. Sporting, we've seen what they've been doing. Goya Koresh, 28 goals in 30 matches. He scored again on a penalty kick against Young Boys in the Europa League. He has just been in terrific form, and it's very hard to see. But Moreirense has been playing very well since they were promoted, and they could pull off a surprise. So we shall see. Porto will be glad to be at home against Estrela Amadora. Let me go here to the second division report. Santa Clara in first with 46, AVS in second with 43, Nacional in third with 40, and Marítimo in fourth with 37. Marítimo with a pretty big win last week that gets them back into the race for third place. Last week we saw some very good results. We saw my club that I like in the second division from Torres Vedras. Turiense went on Friday against Oliveirense. That was a nice trip up north with the win. We saw Santa Clara beat Feirense. We saw Marítimo go on the road, defeating Passos de Ferreira. We saw AVS defeat Leiria. And Nacional had a very tough match with last place Vila Verdense, but they came out on top in the Chupana 3-2. Match day 22 of the second division gets underway Friday. Leixões at home to Passos de Ferreira. Passos, longtime club in the first division. They are sitting in 11th place. Not really much hope this year that they're going to be promoted. They got the best social media team in Portugal, as we know, with the mascot. But again, just doesn't really look good for them. Santa Clara this weekend will be making the trip to the mainland. They will be playing Penafiel, who sits in 12th place. We've got Marítimo at home playing FC Porto B. We got Turiense at home playing Benfica B this weekend. And those are some of the more interesting matches. Let's see here. Last place Belenenses will be going to Leiria. And AVS, second place AVS, will be making the trip to Coimbra, where Vila Verdense is playing their matches. They'll be making that trip. So Santa Clara, again, leading the way with 46, AVS 43. Good battle for third place. Nacional, a pair of Madeira teams. Nacional with 40, Marítimo with 37. Marítimo, I thought at one point might be in danger out of falling out of the top four, but they are back in it with 37 points, and they are in that at least for the battle for third place, but they're only 6 points behind second place. And of course, we still have 12 match days to go. So lots of football that's still going to be coming our way. Women's football, first off, Professor Netu announced on Thursday his squad selections for some upcoming friendlies against South Korea and the Czech Republic. Obviously, they're going to be celebrating the fact that a year ago at this time, right around this time, they were celebrating their first qualification to the World Cup. So some good news there. As far as domestically with the league, it continues to be led by Benfica with 34 points. Sporting in second with 30. Braga in third with 25. And my favorite name in the women's football, Racing Power FC. God, I wish I knew how they came to name that club that way, with 23 points. This weekend, everybody's in action. Benfica will be at home to 10th place Atlético Oriente. Sporting will be making the trip to play Racing Power FC. And then Braga, third place Braga, they will be playing on Saturday, and they'll be taking on Clube de Albacarella. And women's football, again, continues to be dominated by Benfica. Sporting, still a lot of season left. They have played about two-thirds of their season. But Benfica and Sporting continue to be at the top, which is really no surprise. Lenk Villavredense sits in last place and in danger. Only one team gets relegated in women's football. So that's the big news with that. Moving on here, let's talk about different things going on in Portuguese football. First off, give a shout-out to Bruno Duarte of Feirense. 4 goals in his last 4 matches. He's been terrific for them, and the reason why Feirense has managed to make it all the way up to about 7th and 8th place. He had a great time, great few years playing with Guimarães, made a move, if I recall, to Saudi Arabia, and then came back to Portugal and signed a deal with Delgarçais Feirense. And I really wanted to give him a shout. He's been doing very, very well. FIFA rankings, the national team, the most recent one came out. They were ranked number 7. No surprise, that's where they were. The Seleção before last year, what they were. Nothing has really changed between that and the other one before this. We saw Rio Ave lose Guga. He moved to a Chinese club. He has been a terrific player for them. At one time, he was being linked with Porto. I think he even got some attention with Benfica. But at 26 years old, probably getting tired of waiting for his big chance, probably has a big money opportunity to go to China. And he's going to be, he has just left them. Rio Ave, again, struggling this year. A lot of people talk about their manager, and he is a good manager, but Rio Ave has not been the club that I think a lot of people expected, you know, in the season. But he's going to be making the move to China because the transfer window is still available for the Chinese league. We saw Taça de Portugal. The match between Santa Clara and Porto that was fortunately called early, and we'll be finishing the last 67 minutes with the score 0-0. Porto Santa Clara will be played on Thursday, February the 29th, 1600 hours. And then the first leg of the semifinals, and why not? They're ready to play. Let's go ahead and play in Alvalade. The first leg of the Lisbon Derby, Taça style, between Sporting and Benfica will be played that Thursday, February the 29th. And again, both of these matches are on a Thursday night. The Liga, as voted by managers, named their team of the week for the month of January. Diego Costa was named the goalkeeper of the month again. Gonçalo Inácio, who scored a nice goal against Young Boys, was named the best defender. Rodrigo Salazar, one of the bright spots for Braga these last 5 to 6 weeks, he was named the best midfielder. A lot of Benfica fans didn't like that. They felt João Neves deserved the monthly award, but that's not what the managers felt. And then, of course, the best striker, not really a surprise, Goya Koresh, he was named the best striker in the Liga for the month. And I think he was also named the best player for the month of January as well. Goya Koresh continues to attract a lot of interest. Even Fabrizio Romano put out some tweets about him and reminded everybody that the release clause is 100 million euros. Is someone going to pay that much for him in June, July, or August? Probably more like 80 million. But nevertheless, that would be that would even break the Bruno Fernandes transfer record to Manchester United if they were able to get, you know, that much money with him too. Player broad report: Jose Mourinho, the special one. Been doing a lot of commercials lately, I've noticed. Most recent one was for Topps Cards, but he did an interview with Rio Ferdinand, and basically he talked about. They asked him a lot of questions about, you know, he loves Africa, his thoughts on leaving Roma, what it was like Manchester, managing Manchester United. If you get a chance, check out that interview. I think it's called Five by Rio Ferdinand. I think it's a company he owns. But the most recent links of news for the special one is that he's apparently Bayern is not having a Bayern year, so to speak. And there's a lot of talk that, you know, he might be linked with the Bayern. John, he's never managed in Germany, of course. Obviously, he's managed in England, Portugal, Spain, Italy. It would seem to be that the last two for him, not sure if he's interested in going to France, but I would not be surprised with an opportunity like Bayern. He's got a lot of great players there at his disposal. But there have been some reports that there could be some interest from Mourinho, and we'll be curious to see, because when you think about José Mourinho, he's managed just about everywhere else. Why would you not do this as well? Moving along for my big four report, we'll start off first with Benfica. And again, João Neves, a lot of people feel is going to be a big sale, although I think Antonio Silva will be sold first before they sell João Neves. I think João Neves will probably be back next year only because his value will grow. But João Neves was, he did an interview, I think it was on Sport TV. And it's the question that they will always ask a young Portuguese player. Do you see yourself back at the team next year? Don't think the question took him off guard, but he basically said that right now his focus is with Benfica and that he can't really make any promises about his future. I saw one Portuguese newspaper say that he said that he wasn't coming back. I saw another Portuguese newspaper say that he was on the headlines. When that happens, I mean, what I read was somebody being vague, you know, what I saw in the video, and somebody basically just saying that, you know, he doesn't know about his future. But let's be honest with you, we all know what eventually is going to happen with his future. But some of the Portuguese newspapers, the way they kind of twisted it, I know a lot of you have a lot of frustration with Portuguese media, and every once in a while when I feel I've got to call something out, I will. I just got to call that out because I didn't think that was good. I think it was a baller that said yes, he was coming back, and I think it was Jogo or the court said he wasn't. I think that the newspapers can be a little bit better than that. But Figa did make news. Of course, we know that they sold Petr Musar to FC Dallas of Major League Soccer. They set up a deal, partnership, so to speak, with FC Dallas. I'm surprised to see that Benfica would do that, mostly because of the roots of the Portuguese communities with Toronto and the, you know, New England and, you know, New York, well, at least the Red Bulls, because they are in New Jersey. New York's, that's a lot of people don't know. New York Red Bulls play in New Jersey. New York City FC actually play in New York City. In my opinion, so they make this deal for a partnership with young players, but again, I'm surprised they don't make a deal. Toronto FC has a deal, or is it New England that has a deal with Sporting? I have to correct myself about that, but I'll find out about that and maybe talk about that next week. Porto is really the thing I wanted to get to. You know, I talked, spent a lot of time last week talking about Amorim and how he came out and said there was no conspiracy theory with their match being promoted at Famalicão. And I got a lot of comments about that. Thank you. This week, I just want to spend a few extra minutes. This week, I guess the team I'll be talking about is Porto a little bit more. And the most important 3 months for Porto is coming up. I don't think we've seen this much issues with Porto going back to before Mourinho took over in 2003 when he did take over and they won the UEFA Cup that year. But the year before that, they were a bit of a mess. And one of the newspapers said it best that, you know, they've got five matches in the next 2 weeks between the Taça de Portugal the Liga, whether or not if they drop any more points, they're done in the Liga. And then, of course, they have the Champions League. So worst case scenario, they could be out of three competitions in 2 weeks. Best case scenario is that they're still competing, although I think the Liga is going to be very tough for them. But the biggest question right now is the immediate future of Porto. And I think these next 2 weeks are going to be very, very important. I think this election between Pinto da Costa and Andres Villas-Boas will be incredible. But in my opinion, they're going to be losing Tareme. I think they're going to be losing Conceição. Evan Nielsen needs to carry this team down the stretch like he's been doing it. Think about it. How many times he was injured and he didn't do anything. And Tareme saved them. Now that Tareme hasn't been doing as well, and it's been Evan Nielsen, he's been saving them. Imagine how good Porto would be if both Tareme and Evan Nielsen were awesome together. I think that's what's been missing. But Porto have lost 18 league points. The most they've ever lost in the first division in a season was 22, and they are coming very close to it. Sporting, Diamond was the talk last week. Got a lot of very little action playing in AFCON, and there's a lot of concern about, first off, it just shows you how much the media builds somebody up, because here is somebody that was being mentioned with Chelsea, I think United, all these big teams in the Premier League, and then he goes to this national team and he can't even see a minute or something like that. And just shows you sometimes how the Portuguese media love to build up a player, and the agents are so awesome at dropping news to them and hints and giving them inside information. It just shows you how Portuguese agents are really good. But at the same time, if the kid can't be playing for his national team, and don't get me wrong, his country's national team, Ivory Coast, that won it, is very good national team. But still, this is something that's got to be looked at by, especially since Sporting went out and got that player. I think it was from Leixões. Got to really watch this situation. But I'll tell you what's going to happen in 2 to 3 weeks. There'll be another big newspaper cover that this kid had this greatest match ever, whatever team that Sporting beat, and things will go back to normal. But it just shows you the power of the media in building up a player that all of a sudden he can't even play for his national team. So where does all this building up come from, in my opinion? And then, of course, I already spoke about Braga. Very disappointing times for Braga. Arthur Jorge, is he in trouble? One or two more bad losses, and I think he will be. Final two parts of episode 210. First off, let me start off talking about, of course, my favorite team in Portugal. In the districts, for those that are brand new, I get a lot of new listeners every week. My hometown team, my parents' hometown team, plays in the fifth tier. We've come so close the last 3 or 4 years to going up to the fourth tier. This year, we're back at it, back in first place again. And last week, we had regional cup action, regional Taça de Portugal cup action on a smaller scale, and we did beat our rivals. The only thing they're known for is their bridge, Punta Barca, 1-0. And as a result, we advance to the quarterfinals. This weekend, it's back to action in the Liga. My club, Atlético dos Arcos, with a 3-point lead over second place Monção. And this weekend, my club, Atlético dos Arcos, will be at home. Very dangerous match against sixth place Cerveira. Very, very dangerous match. And Monção, second place, they've got it easier. They are playing a team in the relegation zone at 15th place, UD Leninsers. So they have it much easier. This is one of those things we've got to be careful. We're playing at home. That's working in our favor. But our opponent in second place has a much easier match, and they are also playing at home. So we've got to be very, very careful. Third place, Corthinolens, is going to be playing. This is probably the best match of this Viana do Castelo region, and that's the fourth place team. Valenciano playing the third place team, Corthinolens. That's a very good match. Hopefully they both draw and we win, and that will only help our cause out a little bit better. I'm going to start my mailbag, and I'm going to start it off with Benfica's biggest fan in Toronto, in my opinion, and that is, of course, Neil of Fernandez. Hello, Neil. Bom dia, boa tarde, Johnny. I feel Benfica's game against Guimarães was the hardest. The hard rain didn't help either. I'm surprised that the game was not stopped at one point, as the ball could not roll properly due to the wet and almost flood-like conditions on the pitch. Going into this game, Guimarães had only lost to Porto and Portimonense at home this season. Although Benfica had a one-man advantage after the 64th minute, they still managed to have more shots on net and shots on target than Benfica. Guimarães has a dedicated fan base and has decent players. So what is stopping them from winning the Liga? Well, here's the thing. They've got money problems. This is their best year probably in in terms of the fact that they're sitting this close to fourth place after 21 match days. This is their best, I think, in something like 30 years. But there's a lot of work to be done. They don't have the money right now that a Braga does. They don't have the talent that a Braga does. Let's not forget they were eliminated in Europa Conference League qualifying in the summer, which doesn't help out their cause. But they have the fourth biggest fan base in Portugal. And if they ever can put together a season where they're battling for, let's say, the top two in a Champions League spot, I would say because of how many fans they have and their ability, when things are going right financially, they can be even a bigger club than Braga. It's not the case now. But right now, too many money problems. They don't have that much talent. And let's be honest with you, they're going to be losing some of that talent after the season because they can't afford to keep them. They need that money. And a lot of times, that's what makes a good club. A club that basically loses players, could buy a bunch of new players, but they're unknown. But a club that can return a lot of their same players is a club that has a better chance of competing. And I don't see that with Guimarães the next few years. But Jota Silva is going to make a lot of money for them. He was getting Italian interest. But right now, Braga is in, even though they're not showing it right now, if you were to put money on between Braga and Guimarães, I think you would probably say that Braga has a better chance to win the Liga. But you know what? Guimarães, maybe this is the first step of something special, and we'll see what happens. Maybe the next year they continue to battle top four, and maybe they figure out what Braga hasn't figured out yet, and maybe they even try to get into the Champions League. But it's going to be hard for them. Very, very, very hard. Next up comes from Rui Sa Brandão on Facebook. He saw the FIFA rankings where Portugal were again in seventh place. And Rui says, my question is what has Belgium or the Netherlands done to be above Portugal? As I see it, Portugal can win the Euro and World Cup and still rank seventh. Look, I don't think we're ahead of Argentina. France seems to always do well against us. England, I think it's 50-50. I definitely agree about Belgium. They still are a good national team. Brazil is hard. Netherlands is having one of their better years. I think right now Portugal is where it needs to be, but there's a lot of questions to be asked about Belgium. I'm not sure what Belgium is doing, if they went through undefeated in their qualifying group. I know when Roberto Martinez managed them, they were undefeated in their qualifying groups, but obviously we saw what they did when they got to the major competition. But this is all based on math. The more you win, even if against the small teams, the more points you get. It's kind of like with the Europa League and the Champions League and the fact that you get the same amount of points if you win or draw. FIFA kind of is like that. I don't think that if you beat a Brazil, it's weighed any more than if you beat a Czech Republic. It's all based on a point system instead of letting people, like here in America, they do polls for college sports, like basketball. And they've got like 100 journalists across America that every Monday morning will submit a poll 1 through 25. And then there are people that count the polls. And then depending on, I guess you get 25 points for being in first, 24 points being in second, getting the most amount of points to the top, all the way down to the number 25th team that gets only 1 point. And then there's a math to it. And that math is based on the opinion of, let's say, 100 journalists. And it doesn't get a lot of complaints. But if you did that in FIFA, I think for some reason, international football, you would. And I think that's why they use this mathematical formula, which sometimes isn't the greatest thing in the world. But you know what? As long as Portugal stays in the top 10 for World Cup qualifying, group draws, things of that nature, and seeding for the World Cups, I'll take seventh place anytime, even though it would be better to be moving up. Anyway, folks, first off, as a reminder, peacesoccercom@gmail.com, Portuguese Soccer is on social media, not just on Twitter and X, but on Facebook, Portuguese_soccer_noticias at Instagram and Threads. And of course, the email, which I got to remember to do a better job to say it at the beginning of this episode, peacesoccercom@gmail.com. Don't agree with me, agree with me. You think I'm full of rubbish. You think I like this team more than the other. I don't care. I enjoy reading your comments. It does tell me what you are thinking. Anyway, folks, that wraps up episode 210 of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. As always, please take care of yourselves. Please take care of your family. And I'll talk to you soon next week. Ciao, everybody.